Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Advent is upon us once again. It seems like it was yesterday when we were starting Advent, but here we go. It starts again in just a few days. And the first Sunday of Advent marks the beginning of the new liturgical year, which is beautiful. I mean, the liturgical year is this annual repetition of the mysteries of the life of Jesus. And it's our way throughout the year to accompany Jesus and to follow him and to grow in our faith as we relive with him all the events of his life. I mean, our faith is much more than just a pious recollection or kind of a simple commemoration of the things of the past. What we're celebrating throughout the liturgical year is Christ himself living in his church. And so we want to understand the true meaning behind each of the events in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to relive each of those moments with him from the moment of the Annunciation leading up to the birth of Jesus, and then everything else, the present day, everything, all the events, all the way up to the cross, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what is the meaning of all of that that we're trying to discover as we begin a new liturgical year with in the time of Advent, and then as we go through the rest of the year? What is the meaning of all of that? And the meaning, I mean, this may seem a little simplistic, but I think it's a good way of understanding it. It is a fundamental and simple truth that permeates the entire gospel, the whole account of our salvation, really from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And it's this very simple and clear and strong truth. And it's in the words from the gospel: having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them to the end. That's what St. John says as a prologue to his account of the Last Supper. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Christ's love is the key to everything. And it's also what should be the key to our lives. In the collect prayer, the opening prayer of the first Sunday of Advent, this is what we pray: grant your faithful, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. I mean, this is kind of how we begin a new liturgical year with the first Sunday of Advent. You know, if you want to understand what God is trying to communicate to us, what our Mother, the Church, is trying to help us see at each moment, read the prayers and the readings of Mass at each moment. And that's what's telling you everything, particularly the collect prayer, which is like the DNA of each liturgical celebration. And there, as we say, that we run to meet Christ as he comes. That we run to meet Christ as he comes. in a way, is very beautiful. I mean, that prayer, what is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us is, don't even wait for Jesus to come. You go run full speed to meet him. Don't wait for him. And in a way, you could say, okay, yeah, that sounds very nice. How do I do that? I mean, do I literally put on running shoes? Which direction should I be running? Rome? Jerusalem? Where do I run? You know? Obviously, it's a spiritual way of speaking, but I think St. Paul, in the reading that we will read in the first Sunday of Advent, St. Paul, I think, gives us a clue as to what it means to run to meet Christ as we begin Advent and the new liturgical year. And this is the reading that we're going to hear at Mass. Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. St. Paul is writing to the people of Rome. He wants to help them. They live in a culture, in a society that is wealthy, is powerful, is very secularized. I mean, in a way, you could say, I mean, he could be writing that letter to us. We're pretty close, actually, to what Rome was at the time. And what is St. Paul saying to that in that letter, that little piece that I just read? He's saying to them two things. First, he tells them to wake up. He says, awake from your sleep. You know, the Romans were into this slumber of pleasure and material goods. And I mean, they were completely, in a way, the way our culture is today. It's not that different. So he tells them, and he tells us, to wake up, to be alert, to awake from, not just from a life of that's easy, of pleasure and so many things, material, but also from the slumber of hyperactivism, entertainment, social media, shopping, all of those things. I mean, we are asleep with all of those. Those things make us fall asleep, spiritually speaking, you know. And we have to wake up. That's kind of the big message. Wake up, you know. I just came from a pilgrimage in Spain. I was taking a lot of planes and trains and automobiles. It's like the movie, Plane, Trains, and Automobiles. And I'm just amazed, especially at airports. I think I was the only person there waiting, and then the same, I had to take a train from Cordoba to Barcelona. I think I was the only person who was not with his nose stuck to the phone and with things in my ears. I was the only one. I mean, I wanted to take my phone and just film it and make a special documentary on, you know, Night of the Living Dead or something. I mean, the zombie apocalypse. Everybody's like, and they walk around like this everywhere. You know, walking into the plane, they sit down, they're, you know, it's bizarre. It really is terrifying, actually. I said, where am I? What kind of world is this? If somebody from just 50 years ago were to all of a sudden, you know, come in and see this, my great-grandfather, or mother, you know, they would say, what is wrong? This is a zombie apocalypse. These zombies, they're kind of, ooh, you know, following every, you know. Wake up. We have to wake up. That's what the liturgy, that's what St. Paul, that's what God is telling us. And each of us needs to discover what is it that, in what ways we're asleep. You know, I was having, it was really quite a thing. I was having recently dinner with this family, and they were telling me about one of their children who was there at dinner, but it was the mother telling me the story, then the son had to interrupt and kind of clarify. And then he ended up telling the story. He's married to a person who is a non-Christian, non-Catholic, not good person, but she's a nothing. But she had agreed to raise the children Catholic. And so they have a daughter who is 5 years old, or four or five. And it's a great little, Chloe is her name. And they were visiting the mom's, the wife's parents in Vancouver. They're of Chinese descent. And they were there and they were taking the, her parents were taking, them everywhere. And at one point, Chloe, the 4 or 5 year old, was kind of acting up, was not behaving well in the car. And so the grandmother basically told her, "Hey, Chloe, if you're a good girl, I'll give you anything you ask for. Just ask and I'll give it to you." I guess they're well off. And so immediately Chloe kind of became very good, And so they got to wherever they were going. I forget, they told me. But the grandma said, "Okay, Chloe, I promise a gift, and you've been so good. What is it that you want? You can ask for anything." This is almost like Herod, remember, when, ended up with John the Baptist in the platter, right? But grandma said, "Chloe, ask for anything you want." And amazing, the little girl says, "Grandma, I want my mommy to come to church with us on Sundays." That's what she asked for. And the dad, the family where we were, it was the couple with their 4 sons, that was who was having dinner, the father of Chloe telling the story, was telling us that there was this silence in the car. And he said it was very funny because his wife looked at him in kind of, whoa. And then the mother-in-law, grandma, was looking at her daughter, the mother of Chloe. They were all kind of looking at each other in disbelief, like, what do we do now? And then he said it was wonderful because then the grandmother said to her daughter, said, "Well, honey, that's what she asked for. That's what she's going to get. You're going to Mass on Sundays, But it's a wake-up moment. What he was saying, what the dad, the husband was saying is, it was a wake-up moment for his wife. All of a sudden, she was hit like with a ton of bricks. Wow, my 4 or 5 year old daughter, all she wants is for me to go to church on Sundays with her. Wow. And hopefully she hasn't converted yet. This happened just a couple of months ago. But hopefully it's a wake-up moment. And now, as we're about to begin Advent, it is a time to wake up. That's what the liturgy is asking us to do, to wake up. Awake from your sleep. The Gospel, Matthew especially, has these beautiful things when our Lord Jesus at the beginning, he says, "Stay awake." And we're going to read this also on Advent. Stay awake. Throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Well, that's one, as we pray and as we prepare, now we're coming to the end of this liturgical year and Advent will begin. It's a good thing to ask our Lord Jesus in prayer, "Lord, help me to wake up. Lord, shake me up." Just like when our mothers were getting us out of bed, shaking us up and pushing us out. It was better mom than dad. If my dad walked into the room, that was bad news. Because it was not going to be a gentle, loving, it was almost violent, But maybe sometimes that's what we need. We need somebody to dare to come and, throw us out of. And this is important. Why? Because Advent, there's a lot of goals in Advent, one of which, the most important one in a sense, is to prepare for the coming of Jesus, who comes to be born again. And what he really wants to be born is in our hearts. And what can happen is that Jesus comes, and as it happened 2,000 years ago, as St. Luke says, there was no room for them in the inn. Remember, there was no room. That's why Jesus ends up being born in a stable. We don't want Jesus to come and we're asleep and he's knocking at the door and we're asleep. And so he has to go to a stable again. What a sad thing that would be if Jesus at Christmas is knocking at the door of your heart and mine and there's no response. There's no response. Our hearts are closed. We're asleep. We don't want that. We want to be so alert, so ready, so that as soon as we hear the knock, we open to welcome Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And this is good that as soon as Advent begins, we're ready to go. And that in our prayer, we tell Jesus many times, Jesus, I am waiting for you. I'm eager to receive you. I'll make room for you. You don't have to go to a stable. You can come into my heart and my heart is ready. But Jesus cannot come into our hearts unless you open the door. Jesus will never force himself in, never does. He's so gentle, so respectful. That's why he comes into the world as a child. Innocent, defenseless. That's how he comes to us. You have to open the door. You know, there is this wonderful painting. You may have seen it. It's not my favorite style, but it's really a striking and wonderful painting by William Holman Hunt. You may have seen it. It's a painting of Jesus. He's got a lantern, and there is a wooden door. It's the light. It's very warm light, and the light is coming from the lantern into, and Jesus is knocking at the door. A striking painting. And somebody told me a story, I don't know if it's true, probably it is, that one time there was an exhibition of some of his works and Hunt himself was there, but kind of a little bit in disguise. He didn't have a name tag with his name. He was just milling around as if he were just another person there looking at the works, at the art. And then there were two older women there looking at that particular painting. And they were admiring it, and Hunt was happy that they were saying nice things about his painting. Hey, look at this beautiful light, and look at the Jesus, looks great. And all of a sudden, one of them said, hey, there, hold on a second, there's something wrong with the painting. And Hunt, you know, the artist, was behind them, kind of woke, you know, so his ears just perked up. And he wanted to listen, and one of the ladies said, you notice, look, there's no door handle, there's no doorknob. And the other older lady says, yeah, wow, the artist forgot. He forgot to paint the, and the artist, Holman, Hunt was there, kind of couldn't believe that this lady, so he finally decided to interrupt. Ladies, yeah. So, I'm the artist. I didn't forget. It's an allegory. And the women say, oh, say, yeah. I mean, it's an allegory. Is what I meant to represent there is that when Jesus knocks at the door of our hearts, Jesus cannot get in unless we open, the door has to be open from in the inside. You know, Jesus cannot open. We have to open for him, you know. And that's how it goes. And what is it that gets in the way, that, you know, what is it that makes us fall asleep, spiritually speaking. And ultimately, yeah, there's all kinds of distractions and things. I mean, you know, pleasures and distractions and hyperactivism and shopping and our pride and our greed, all of those things for sure. But it's sin. Sin is what gets in the way. Sin. So the best way to awake from our slumber is to make a good confession. And that during the time of Advent, maybe more than one good confession, that to see and make that as a goal, hey, during the time of Advent, I'm going to try to make more frequent, more contrite confessions so that when Christmas comes, I'm ready. I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready to receive him. I'm ready to embrace him, and he's going to find in my heart a warm and well-lit and comfortable place for him to be, where he's going to feel loved as he should be. Think about that, you know. And it's good that during the time of Advent, we tell Jesus in prayer, Jesus, I will open my heart to you. I know that I'm not really worthy to have you in my soul, but I know you love me, and I want to, and I will get as ready as I can. I'm going to be awake, eager, ready, waiting for you. Jesus, I'm going to make good, frequent, and better confessions. So when you come, you will find a beautiful place to be born, a place that is clean and warm and worthy of you. And I think the time of Advent is a time, again, as we try to make those better and more contrite confessions, is a time of deeper examination of conscience, to try to look into our hearts more sincerely, more courageously, and see what's there that is getting in the way. What kind of sin is there? Is it greed? Is it pride? Is it selfishness? Is it, what is it? Is it lack of forgiveness? Is it seeking pleasure at all costs? A comfortable life? That's all, you know. And so try to make a deeper and, yeah, examination of conscience. That would be another great goal for the time of Advent, to every night, at the end of the day, to make a good examination of conscience, daily examination of conscience, ending with a good act of contrition. What a great thing, great practice to do during the time of Advent. The other day, I was amazed, really, but I was speaking with a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she was telling me that how anxious she already was about getting Christmas gifts for her family. This was about a week ago. And I was, what? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. You're already anxious? I said, well, Father, I said, listen, I don't know. Maybe I'll recommend a good psychiatrist. I mean, you got to chill a little bit. And obviously, she's doing this because she loves her family. I mean, I think it was... But I don't think it's too early, and certainly as soon as Advent begins to... The most important thing is, well, what are you going to give to Jesus when he comes? What's the gift that you want to give to him? And you know, this may sound a little crazy, but I think what Jesus loves the most, and so that would be the greatest gift that we can give him, is the opportunity to forgive us. Jesus, in his amazing, amazing love for us, loves to forgive. He loves when we come to Him in the sacrament of confession. He loves it. Because we're giving Him an opportunity to love us in a very, very special way. So, you think, okay, what can you give to Jesus? Well, try to make one or two or three good confessions during the time of Advent. And then you say, okay, what else can I give to Jesus? What's a great second gift? Bring somebody else to confession. What about a third gift? Bring a third person and a fourth. You know, because that's what Jesus loves the most. Well, let's go to our Mother Mary. Advent is a very Marian, very special time with our Mother Mary. It's Marian time. And maybe for this year, for Advent, this is something that we can, all of us, do. Make it very special by being very close to our Mother Mary, by asking her to accompany us, that we do it. Maybe it's praying the rosary in a very special way, going through the mysteries more carefully. You know, that would be a wonderful, wonderful way of living the time of Advent in a way that is fruitful and very loving. And of course, nobody knows and understands and loves Jesus more than Mary. And if we ask for her help, she will be there with us, helping us. So that Advent is a very, very special time this year. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.